I would like for you to turn with me to Psalms 113. Psalms 113. I've got a message this morning on praise and worship. You know, last week I dealt with the subject of worship. Bring me a musician, Elisha's request. Bring me a musician. I have to get in the presence of God. But today, I would like to point out some of the distinctions between praise and worship. You know, we do both. And you know, they're not identical. There are different elements in each. And I think it's important that we see some of these elements. Now, are they similar? They're extremely similar. In fact, so similar, at points, they're almost indistinguishable, where you don't know where praise becomes worship. And worship is praise. But there are other times we see in the definitions of certain words that there is a definite distinction between praise and worship, and we're called by God to render both unto Him. In Psalms 113, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord." Hundreds of times in the Bible, we are told to praise the Lord. Generally, this is in the imperative, which makes it a command. It's not a request or a suggestion, but it is a call for the people of God to render unto Him what is rightfully His. Praise. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Verse 6, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? Imagine, God is so holy, so altogether transcendent, so above all that we know and we are. The Bible says He humbles Himself to just look at His creation. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with the princes. How about that? From the dunghill to the palace. Even with the princes of His people, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. This psalm is one of the Hillel psalms. The book of Psalms, well, it is a compilation of 150 songs. That's what the word actually means. It means songs, poems, perhaps, you know, like in Hebrew poetry. Some call them actually hymns. They are hymns. But the Jewish title of this particular book is the Book of Praises. That's what the Psalms are, praises. Praises unto the Lord, to the Almighty. These are sacred songs because they were sung. They were set to music. The Greek word psalmos actually refers to musical accompaniment, musical sounds. So the sounds in particular that are produced by stringed instruments. That's the whole Greek idea of this particular word. Not only songs, but music that goes right along with the singing. In particular, things played, you know, with stringed instruments. So you've got 150 psalms in this collection of sacred, inspired songs. 150 of them, written by a whole bunch of different people. David, who was called the sweet psalmist of Israel, we know wrote 73 of them, and probably more. There are many that we don't know who wrote them. Some are ascribed to Asaph, about a dozen. Some to the songs of Korah, almost a dozen, I think 11 to the sons of Korah. One is ascribed to Moses, Psalms 90. That was a psalm of Moses. A couple of them to Solomon, and many, many that we don't quite know. But these psalms take many different forms. Many of them are prayers. Some of them are called penitential psalms. These are the psalms of repentance. Some of them are laments. Some of them are psalms, what they call imprecatory psalms. These are prayers for God to judge their enemies. So they take on many, many different forms. There are genres, what we would call genres in the psalms. Many are psalms of thanksgiving. But this particular psalm, Psalms 113, is called a Hillel, which means praise. That's the whole idea. It's a praise. Praises given to the Almighty, praises to the Lord, singing of His glories, His majesty, His wonders, His deeds, His mighty acts, lauding the greatness of God and His majesty. They declare declarations of God's merits. Notice, like in verse 4, the Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. See, these praises, what they do is they declare just how great He is, what He has done. Who is like unto our God, the Lord our God, who dwells on high? Who dwells on high? Who? Does Buddha dwell on high? Does Allah, the God of the crescent moon of the Muslims, does He dwell on high? Well, you know, He was a local god of many of the Arabian tribes, just another of the pagan deities. That's all they were. Stumps of wood, worshiping nature, or whatever. But who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and earth? And look at the deeds that He does. He raises the poor up out of the dust. He lifts the needy from the dunghill and puts them in palaces. Well, these are praises, declarations of His greatness and declarations of His deed. In fact, our word, hallelujah, is actually, you know, we said Hillel. This is one of Hillel's psalms. Hallelujah comes from the Hebrew Hillel, which has to do with, you know, praise. And Yah, the name of God. So when you say hallelujah, you're saying praise God. You're saying praise the Lord. You're saying praise Yahweh. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what the word means, hallelujah. You know, the Yah, one of the sacred names of God. So last week, I shared on worship. And worship is a very important part of the Christian life. Today I'd like to speak a little bit on praise, and I'd also like to show some of the differences between the two, worship and praise. Both are vitally important. We do both. We're called to do both. Here in Psalms 113, verse 1, we're told, praise the Lord. O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Verse 3, from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, praise the name of the Lord. Hundreds of times we're told this in the scriptures. Here's an interesting little point. The Hebrew uses seven different Hebrew words that are translated praise. Very interesting, the different aspects that these words bring out. I want to give you real quick what these words are, because they give us a little bigger picture of what praise is. Hallel is the number one word. This word means to laud. That is, the idea is to declare the glory, the wonder, the majesty, the might, the deeds. It's to praise God for all that He is and all that He does. To rave, to boast. The word also means to celebrate. Over 100 times, I believe, this word is used in the Bible and translated praise. Another word, yada, very interesting word. It means to extend your hands. So as we laud, praise, declare, this word translated praise actually means extended hands, arms uplifted. How about that? So there's another interesting word, barach. It means to kneel, to adore, to, it's translated also thanks and praise and so forth, but the idea here is it means to declare and in a kneeling position, adoring position, and like in homage. Another word, tilhaleh, to sing to Laud, comes from Hallel, means basically the same thing. It's used 50 times in the Old Testament. Zamar, a word translated praise, means to pluck the strings of an instrument. So praise, talk about praise, extended hands, plucking the strings of an instrument, raising your voice, declaring his might, majesty, power, and so forth. Another word, todah, means also to extend the hands in a thank offering. It's an exclamatory form of praise. That word's used about 7 times. Shabak, another one, means to address or to declare in a loud voice. It means to shout.
Amen.
Praise. Hey, it takes on all of these forms. So there are points and times when praise is hard to distinguish from worship. Because, you know, we talked about worship last time, the humbling of ourselves. Worship usually has to do with prostrating oneself, because, you know, that's what that's got to do with. Interesting, another little aspect from the Greek. The Greek word or words translated praise also brings in another element, to applaud.
Amen.
Yeah, that's in there. That's part of the process. The Bible tells us that we're to offer unto him the sacrifice of praise continually. Hebrews 13:15, New Testament. We're to offer unto the Lord the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So praise has to do with our lips, coming from our hearts, hands, song. Joy, declarations of joy, exultation, praise, celebration. You see, church service doesn't have to be silent to be reverent.
Amen.
After all, when we gather, it's not to mourn the death of Christ.
Amen.
It's not a funeral home.
Amen.
We celebrate the risen Savior, the one who lives and the one who walks among us. And in fact, Psalms 22 talks about him inhabiting the praises of Israel, inhabiting the praises of his people.
Amen.
We do believe that there is a profound sense in which the Lord does inhabit the worship and praise of his people when they lift not only their voices, but their hearts. You see, the mouth is just an expression of the heart. What comes out of the mouth is what comes forth from the heart. That's what the Bible says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or as Spurgeon used to say, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. So what comes out of your mouth is what was in your heart. So if it's praise, worship, adoration, thanksgiving, joy, expressions of gratitude, or moaning, groaning, complaining, grumbling, you know, whatever. The Hebrew words for worship, basically there are two, shakar, which means to prostrate, to bow down. In fact, it means to fall down, to stoop, to do reverence. That's the posture of worship. The other word, sagad, means basically the same thing, to fall down, to prostrate oneself. The primary word used in the Greek New Testament for worship means to bow before, to humble yourself before, to do homage to kiss the feet, to kiss the garment. It's the same thing. These words mean the same in both Hebrew and Greek. Worship is a posture of brokenness, of absolute subjection and humility, of reverence, of awe, of of adoration, of just abject humility and surrender in worship. Even the posture of the body is involved in worship, where one is prostrate before. One has kneeled. One is bowed down. That's the idea here. And praise, well, praise means an ascription of worth, where we declare the worth, the value, the glory of the one praised. Now, here's an interesting thought. You know, praise can be given to people. You can praise people. And sometimes we do. We praise someone for all the good they did. We laud them. We compliment them. We encourage them. We thank them for all the things that they've done, accomplished, and so forth. We heap praise upon them and thanksgiving and so forth. If you watch TV, you can see all the merchants praising their products. You know, so there's praise for that. Praise for whatever headache remedy or powder or whatever it is, or latest brand of toothpaste, or you know, whatever it is. Our dog food's better than your dog food, and so on. Praise can be given to people. Praise can be given to objects. But for the believer, praise is, our praise from our heart is reserved for our Creator.
Amen.
That's the purest form of it. Praise is to the Lord. He's the object of all of our praise. And the Bible tells us that all of creation is to praise Him. All of creation. Let me just read a passage here. Psalms 103, listen to this, verse 20 and 21. Bless the Lord. Well, you know, Psalms 103, that's the bless the Lord psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless, that's the word barach. But in verse 20, bless the Lord, ye His angels. The word means praise, by the way. Bless the Lord, praise the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength and do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts. These are the armies of heaven. You ministers of His, all of His servants that do His pleasure. So heaven, angels, all are supposed to be praising the Lord, blessing the Lord, honoring the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Here's another passage. I really like this one. I want you to turn here with me in Revelation chapter 5. I think I read it last week, but I want to read it again. Revelation 5, because I want you to see something in this passage. You know, we're talking about how the angels are to praise the Lord and bless the Lord and let all of heaven bless the Lord. I want you to look at this passage with me in Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Behold, he says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, literally the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a whisper, saying with a loud voice, this is praise now. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. You see here, praise. It's loud. Imagine the voices of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You've got an uncountable multitude in a loud voice, all declaring this glory, praise, honor. Here's my point. If people are worshiping the Lord, it's not always in a whisper. It's not always in a whisper. And if you'll back up with me a little bit, they are accompanied by instruments. Verse 8, he took the book, The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. Do you notice here that they've got instruments? Instruments make noise. They don't have to be plugged in, you know, to make noise. So you've got all of these voices raised in a loud voice. You've got these instruments playing, all ascribing worth, value, glory, thanksgiving, lauding the Savior. This is praise. This is praise. This is praise in heaven. Heaven sets the example for us. This is praise. And if you'll notice verse 14, this is worship. The four living creatures said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. You notice the difference? The prostrate condition. They fall down. They worship. They revere. Now, do you have to bow or fall on your face to worship? No, but it's at least the condition of the heart. The heart bowed, the heart humbled. You notice how it goes right from praise, glory, majesty, and then this position of worship. You see the same thing over in chapter 4 and verse 10, where the 4 and 20 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before him, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were and are created. We sang that this morning. Cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. This is the primary word that's used for worship in the Old Testament. It means to prostrate yourself, to bow down, to kneel before the object of your worship, and that out of honor and reverence. Jacinius, the Old Testament lexicon, translates this word worship, to touch the ground with your forehead. Isn't that interesting? That's the posture of worship, absolute surrender, humility, brokenness, adoration, worship. Art and Gingrich, in their Greek lexicon, translate the word in reference to, again, prostrating yourself before a person, kissing their feet or the hem of their garment in profound reverence and respect and honor. So, that's the whole idea of it, whether you're looking in the Old Testament or the New Testament. You know, the New gets its meaning from the Old, but they mean the same thing. It's absolute, humbling, broken prayer, adoration, homage, worship before the Lord, because all of our worship is to be directed to Him. All of our worship. You remember when the devil came to the Lord in the great temptation in the wilderness, and the devil offered the Lord all the kingdoms of the world and the riches of them. He says, all of this I will give you. I'll give you all the riches and kingdoms of the world. Just one condition. Bow down. His specific words. Bow down and worship me. And the Lord's response, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and serve him only. Worship is reserved for the Lord and the Lord alone. Him only shall we serve and him only shall we worship. But here's the thought of worship, the thought of worship. The emphasis is giving all that we have and all that we are. It's the complete surrender of the self to God. It's humbling ourselves before the Almighty. It's worship is deep. It goes to and comes from the innermost being. Worship, adoration, It's profoundly respectful. It's profoundly sober. It's very, very intimate. It's you and God. It's very profoundly personal. And interestingly, the word praise, remember, ascribes value to the Lord. Since you're right here in Revelation, look with me in chapter 4. I want you to see how profound the reverence is of these angelic beings. Revelation 4, beginning in verse 8. The four living creatures had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. We believe that this is the same beings Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. He called them the seraphim. It's a unique form of angelic being. Not all angels are the same. These are a unique form of angelic being. Most of the angels we see appearing in the Bible appear as men. They don't have wings. But here, the seraphim, as Isaiah describes them in Isaiah 6, they had six wings. And notice, it says, they were full of eyes. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And this is the same thing Isaiah 6 describes when Isaiah had this revelation. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, and he saw the seraphim. And what did they do? Day and night, holy, 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 the Bible says. And notice that the Bible says here, and when those beasts give glory, those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who lives forever and ever, then the 24 elders fall before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. Isaiah also points out the profound fact that these angels with their six wings, they actually cover themselves and cover their feet before the Almighty in humility, in reverence, in awe of the transcendent God that they stand before and they stand in the presence of. This is worship. They fall down on their faces. I mean, notice the humility even of the angels, these profound angelic beings, as they worship the one who's altogether perfect and pure and holy. You know, in their worship, they are undistracted. Amen. You look at this passage, you read this passage, they are fully engaged. They are 100% involved. They're not worried about what anybody else is doing. Hello. They are absorbed here in the worship of the Almighty. This is worship. It's powerful. It's profound. It's personal. It's very intimate. And this is what they do, the Bible says, day and night. They worship the Lord. Can I give you another verse or two? Look with me over to Psalms 95. This is our songbook, you know. The Bible gives us a hymn book. Psalms 95. I'm going to read verse 6. Here is a call to worship. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he's our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. What a call. A call to worship. And notice again the posture. Let us kneel. Let us bow down. Let us kneel. Worship. That's the at least the posture of the heart in worship. But I want you to see where worship is found in this passage. It's found in the midst of praise. Verse 1. I'm still in Psalms 95. Y'all with me? Yes. All right. Psalms 95, 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Let's come with music. Let's come with songs. For the Lord's a great God and a great King above all gods. Again, they're declaring His glories and majesty. They're lauding the Lord. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His. He made it. His hands form the dry land. And now let's worship, verse 6. Let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. You notice how they go together? He says in verse 9, let's see, where was I? Psalms 95. Look with me down to Psalms 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. The Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. And then notice the tone, how it changes in the very next verse, verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. I find an interesting change in the tone as praise is celebratory, lauding, singing, glorifying God, expressing our joy, our thanks, lifting our hands in song, in music. But when he comes to and he begins to talk about worship, worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Worship always a greater and more profound degree of reverence seems to enter in. Not that praise is irreverent. In fact, you can't tell the two apart in many times, many cases. But it's possible to praise and not be fully engaged. It's not possible to worship without being fully engaged. Worship comes from this deep place in the heart. You can praise, your lips are saying things, your hands are saying things, and your heart may not even be completely involved. But worship, by its very nature, brings us into this place of humility, of reverence, of profound intimacy with the Lord. There is a difference. Hundreds of times the Bible tells us to praise the Lord. And again, I emphasize, the Hebrew is usually in the imperative, which means this is what you do. You praise Him. You're a believer, you praise the Lord. In fact, Psalms 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You have breath? Well, I guess that includes you and me then. Can we look at a couple other passages? Psalms 148. You know, you can never do justice to a subject like this because you'd have to read the whole Bible. So I have to pick a few verses, a few passages here and there that deal with the subject of praise. Psalms 148, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise ye Him, praise Him in the heights, praise ye Him all his angels, praise ye Him all His armies, praise ye Him sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He's made a decree that shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things, flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. This means, by the way, the word Hillel here, praise. This word has to do with, you know, making some noise. It means to shine, to make a show. It means clamorously, you know, at one point clamorously foolish. Might be foolish to the world, you know, like when David was praising the Lord and his wife Michal rebuked him for making such a show of himself, dancing and so on. It's not a production. Praise is not a production, and it's not something that you intentionally do to attract attention. It's just uninhibited. That's what praise is. It's uninhibited, where you just are before the Lord and you're singing his glories and majesty. Psalms 150 has to be one of your favorites. I like this because of his emphasis on using your gifts, talents, abilities, instruments. Praise ye the Lord, Psalms 150. Praise God in his sanctuary. You mean in the church? It's okay. It's okay. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Remember, this is what praise does. It lauds him. It glorifies him for what he does. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet or the trombone or the tuba or the shofar. But some versions translate it coronet. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. So now you have these stringed instruments. Psaltery, I'm not 100% sure what a psaltery is. Some say it's some kind of bottle-shaped thing. I don't know if it's something they played or something that maybe like a, who knows, maybe a violin. I don't know what it was. Verse 4, praise him with the timbrel. I know what that is. It's a tambourine. Praise him with the tambourine and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Now, the organs here, you know, they didn't have organs like we have today, keyboards and such, but they did have instruments we don't have. Some translate this flutes. I don't know if you have another version of how it might translate it, but it's some kind of an instrument. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Some translate that the joyful cymbals. Praise him on the high-sounding cymbals. This high-sounding is actually a word that's related to a battle cry. It could get noisy, you know, when you praise the Lord.
Amen.
He says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's lively. Can get a little boisterous. One thing for sure, when there is praise, it's not dull.
Amen. Bless the name.
Hallelujah. It's an expression of our gratitude, you know, to the Lord and celebrating his goodness and his attributes. It's okay. It's okay to praise him in church. And praise God. In fact, he tells us in verse 1 right here, you can praise him in the sanctuary. In Psalms 149 in verse 1, he says, you can praise him in the congregation of the saints. A reminder, it's not a funeral home. You don't have to be silent to be reverent. If you have life, he says, verse 6 right here, praise him, because there's another verse, Psalms 115 and verse 17, that says, the dead praise not the Lord. Well, so if praise means to extol, to exalt, to glorify, to honor, to laud his praises, his goodness, his merits, but it also means yodah, to raise the hands, an expression of love, adoration, surrender, to revere, to worship. You know, that's all one and the same. Psalms 111 and verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the saints, in the assembly of the upright, I will praise him. So there is a sense here where praise and worship, they go together. I mean, it's hard to tell one from the other. Where does praise end and worship begin? Is worship just a part of our praise? Well, here's what we do know. They go together. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. So when we come, I don't want you to think of the time where we spend together in worship and praise. Don't think of that as a chore to just get through.
Come on.
This is our time to express our love, joy, adoration, appreciation to the Lord. This is where we lift our voice to declare his goodness, his merits, his glories, to express our thankfulness. No, it's not something to just endure. It's something to embrace with your whole heart. We are called to worship. We are called to praise. Hundreds and hundreds of times in the Bible, we are called to praise him. Praising with all of our heart. Praising with our voice. If you're gifted with musical abilities, praising with that. There's an interesting passage over in Psalms 33. It says that, part of the praise is to play skillfully, the Bible says. Play skillfully on an instrument. I think it mentions the instrument of 10 strings. So if you have gifts, talents, abilities that you can glorify God with, then, you know, I can't think of a better way to use your gifts and talents and abilities than to praise the Lord and to use them in his service. Praise him on whatever, with whatever giftings you have. And some of us are not very gifted at all, but we still have to praise him. And he will receive it. It's a noise, and it's joyful. You know, our worship leaders have an assignment, and I believe it's a divine assignment. They are not here to just entertain us. I've mentioned this before. In the Old Testament, the singers and the musicians were from the tribe of Levi. These were the priestly tribe.
That's right.
And the singers, the musicians were taken from that tribe. Now remember, these are the priests. And their ministry, their place of service was song. Song unto the Lord. They weren't out to impress the congregation, but to render their voices and abilities and talents unto the Lord. In fact, you read in 1 Chronicles 9, the Bible says the singers were not even supposed to participate in any of the other things that the other priests did, because their place of service, day and night,
Amen.
Was that of to render praise and worship unto the Lord.
Amen.
How about that? In other words, it's a serious place,
Amen.
And it's not to impress the congregation, but it's to encourage the congregation and to lead us into a place of worship and praise.
Right.
So that it's to draw out of us our voice, our song, our heart. Deliver us from all the stuff that's going on over the course of the week.
Yes.
And let us get into the presence of the Lord with thankful hearts, with joyful hearts. Don't be upset because somebody's playing an instrument. In the Bible, they played, they were joyful noises. And like the priestly tribe that stood to sing and to play, it was a place of ministry. So these guys, this is a ministry. It's a ministry unto the Lord. They are rendering service unto the Lord. And as they do it unto the Lord, the whole idea is for us to join them. They're not here for us to watch. They're not here, for us to sit back and be a spectator and see how good they do today. The whole thing is about us entering into this atmosphere and attitude of praise. Praise to our Maker. And worship to the one who walks among us. You know, if he inhabits the praises of his people, let's take that to a personal level. If he's present when we praise, then we know he's present when we praise corporately. But how much is he present in our personal life? If it was gauged by, you know, our praise, the reality of our praise. Here's what I would encourage us to do. Be engaged. Be engaged. Be fully engaged. Remember, this is why we gather. We come into his presence with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. This is all about the Lord. We gather together. Look, we've all got busy lives and we've all got a thousand things going on. When we come together in these meetings, this is a special time. This is a sacred time. This is a time we set aside. And it's all about honoring the Lord and learning from the Lord, learning how we can serve him, learning how we can please him. And here's what he calls us to do. Be a man or woman of praise. We need to remember what we are, what we have. It's not because we deserved it. It's not by our merits. We praise the one who blessed us. We praise the one who saved us. We praise the one who gives us the health to be here, the ability to be here. Let's render to him what is due him. Let's offer unto him, as Hebrews says, the sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That's our reasonable service, Romans 12 says. It's our reasonable service. Let's come into his presence, realizing that it's his presence, his presence. And when there are times of words come forth, let's allow the Lord to speak to us. Let's allow the Lord to speak through us. The Lord, you know, wants to use you. Stir up the gifts within you. Let the Lord speak through you. Let him use you. Bring your voice. Engage your heart. Lift your hands. Not because you have to. You want to. Because you want to. Isn't it interesting? All of this is part of the definition of what praise is. Lifting the hands. Extolling the goodness and greatness of God. Sacrifice of praise. Fruit of our lips giving thanks. Thanksgiving. And worship. Worship. Forget about what everybody else is doing. You worship. You let the deep within your heart call out to the Lord in prayer, in thanksgiving, in honor, in worship, in reverence. You speak to him. Listen, I believe that as we worship, the Lord is standing right there. He's right there. There's times in our worship where I feel like if I opened my eyes or if I just reached out, I could touch him. Amen. There's times when I don't feel much of anything. But it doesn't matter what I feel, because I know that the Lord is present. He's ever present, always present. Lord of the lampstands, he walks among us. This is a vital part of our gatherings. That's my whole point. It's our reasonable service. We're called to praise and to worship. Let us not be negligent in this matter. We sing, we praise, we exalt, we rejoice. Somebody might dance a little bit. Somebody might blow the shofar. Somebody might shout. You don't have to say, "This is church." They should show a little respect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's embrace it with all of our hearts and be a worshiper. Be a man, a woman of praise. Father, we pray today that you would ignite our hearts with a fresh passion, Lord. Ignite our hearts with a fresh passion. Lord, to be worshipers, to be men and women with hearts and mouths filled with praise. Lord, deliver us from all of our inhibitions. Deliver us from our self. Deliver us from our pride. Lord Jesus, let us recognize your presence in the assembly of the saints. Let us honor and exalt you. Let us be men and women of praise and worship. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You know, clapping's a part of it too. We clap to the Lord. Yeah, that's right.